It is the Mike Calta Show at 102.5 The Bone. We got Galvin blindfolded. We have Spanish and Carmen blindfolded.
You can tell Carmen's blindfolded because she can't talk.
I can talk.
I loved watching all of you try to grab your microphones. All right, Joe, can you hear me, Joe?
Yes, I can, Michael.
All right, please bring the celebrity guest in the studio. Tell them, remind them, keep it quiet. Only answer in yes and no and to disguise their voice. Okay, bring them in and put them at Mike 4 there. It's waiting for you. Now, okay. You people, yes, Carmen?
Oh, I was going to have I had a question for Spanish and Galvin.
No. Oh. What? Go ahead.
Are your guys' eyes closed or open with the blindfold on?
I just have mine closed.
Mine's open. I can't see anything.
I don't know what to do. Yeah. I keep blinking.
Oh, my God.
We've taken away. Normally, it will heighten your other senses.
Yeah. Right.
But it's made her dumber.
I'm trying to smell the person.
Don't smell the person. All right. The person is in now and taking the seat.
Ooh, I got a little hint of eucalyptus.
Ooh.
It is a giant koala.
It is an Australian person. It's Jim Jeffries.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh.
So wonderful to be here.
Oh. All right. Nice to see you. Carmen, Galvin, and Spanish. Galvin, you want to go first?
Okay. It's definitely a dude.
You get three yes or no questions.
Okay.
You guessed. You can only say yes or no.
Okay.
All right. Galvin, go ahead.
Celebrity guest, have you been on this show before?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I already know who it is.
You already
know?
Yeah, I already know.
How?
Because he's slipped up with his accent.
Oh, well, then wait your turn.
Okay.
Accent, you know that you noticed an accent already?
Well, like from his.
All right, show your face. Go ahead, Galvin.
Oh, no, no.
Spanish.
We go. We
gotta
go.
Okay, so my question is, are you an athlete, a comedian?
Yes or no question.
Are you an athlete?
Gosh. God, you don't have to yell at me.
The worst.
I am an athlete. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Is Carmen, is she going to guess or no?
Can I guess?
Or why don't you get a confirmation? Like, ask a question that you know for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Are you also, so you're an athlete, but are you also a movie star? I know. See?
Jerk.
Yeah, get it.
Do you know Galvin?
Who is it?
Do you know?
Can I take my guess?
Hold on, not yet. All right. Carmen, you know who it is.
Yes, so can I take my blindfold off?
Yeah, but don't say anything. Don't say anything. All right, Galvin, back to you.
Did I already guess who the person was?
You didn't guess anything.
No, did I guess earlier?
You didn't
today?
Guess anything.
I guessed earlier.
You get to ask another question.
Are you a wrestler? Or were you a wrestler? Have you wrestled?
Apparently, I know it's doing a very good fake voice.
I actually was very attracted to you when you started speaking like that.
Who's he? By the way, he doesn't have an accent.
No, not an accent, but I'm saying when he like broke from his. Whatever.
You do have a deep voice. It's hard.
That's great.
Disguise.
So you want to hear something weird? By the way, it's Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
So you want to hear something weird? Last night, I almost tweeted at your wife, but didn't want you to kill me. It wasn't anything bad.
I know.
I was going to include you on the tweet because it was two pit bulls that were super cute, and they dressed them up in pajamas and stuff, and you guys always tweet out pictures of your pit bulls and stuff. No. Yeah, I thought that was fun. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So I guessed earlier.
Yeah, I know.
I guessed earlier.
And I tried to throw you off with the she. I kept referring to her as a she.
You did your stupid face, though.
I know.
You gave it away too easy.
I'm the worst liar ever.
That's hilarious.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. I'm tired. Your new time slot, man.
Stinks, right?
Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep much last night.
Anyway. That's why so Batista and I were hanging out the other night, and he was like, when am I going to come on the show? And I go, you don't understand. You can come on the show whenever you want. I don't ask you to come on the show because I don't want to be like, I need you to get up on your day off at 7 o'clock in the morning, drive in traffic to be over here to hang out with us idiots.
No, I wish you would have, man. I've been waiting for you to ask.
Oh, shut up.
No, seriously, I love coming on. It's just, well, last year I wasn't home much.
Right.
I mean, literally all year I just wasn't home much.
And that is a great thing for you because that just shows that you're
employed.
Yeah. But I mean, listen. A lot of guys transition from sports to movies, and they don't have the great the quality of movies that you're doing. I mean, just Guardians of the Galaxy alone is one of the biggest movies of the decade.
Yeah.
And now we're coming up on the third the third appearance of the Guardians,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, an Avengers. Yeah.
And what is this? Infinity War.
Yeah.
War, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be out in May.
Now you. So tell us how it ends.
Drax kills everyone.
Now this is where the Avengers fight each other, correct? No, well, the first one was Civil War. Now Civil they War, fight yeah. Thanos. Who come? Well, I know that from the trailer.
I know some stuff's been released on the trailer. I'm right. just so afraid to say
no,
anything.
You don't have to say it. I'm just trying to figure out. Okay, so who would be the complement to Drax? Like the Hulk is in this movie. I don't know. I don't want you to say anything you're not supposed to. I'm trying to go with the obvious stuff.
Yeah, no. I'll leave it at this. We are pretty heavily featured.
Yeah, in the movie. Because you're not heavily really featured in the trailer.
Well, the trailer's great because at the end of the trailer, those guys show up, and I forget who it says.
Thor.
Thor. Yeah. He's like, who are you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's actually, you know, we spend so much time, you know, the Guardians just spend so much time with each other, so it's hard to say who we bounce off because we just, you know, it's usually us as a group.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. The older I get, I keep waiting to go, I don't like these anymore. But man, I watched Logan again the other night.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I mean, the superhero movies keep getting better and better, and I'm a big Superman fan, but the movies aren't doing it any justice, and I think that the thing that Marvel does right is they get good actors to play these roles, and it adds an element of drama. Like, the best Batman movie was one with Christian Bale, because you had a great actor playing him.
I agree. Well, I think, you know, DC's... They definitely got some great actors, but I think maybe that's, you know, they're focused more on that, is who they're getting to fill these roles instead of it's kind of the storyline.
Right.
And you know, they're kind of going back to the basics of the comics. I think they're missing that fanboy element.
Spanish, pull that mic right up to your mouth so we get you. Because you, when you're not doing an accent, you talk very low.
Yeah, I'm a low tempered. I can't believe Carmi guessed me that fast. Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed it.
Well, it was also because Galvin said it earlier.
Yeah,
so
jerk.
Then when you broke away from the accent that you were doing, I picked up on your real voice.
So I kind of screwed up yesterday because I said, they were like, how famous is this person? And I said, this person's internationally famous. And that's always the defense I have against when people are talking about wrestlers.
Right.
I was thinking internationally famous because of Guardians.
Right.
And I knew once I said that, you were going to think it was a wrestler, which in a way it was, and kind of screwed everything up there. Tell me about who's the biggest celebrity that you've worked with so far? Like, when I heard you were doing a movie with De Niro, God, you've made
it. Easily Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
What did you do with Jodie Foster?
Oh, I did a movie called Hotel Artemis. I think it's going to hit the festival circuit this year, but...
So that means it's a good movie. If it's going the festival route.
The cast it's a monster cast. It's me, Jodie, Sterling K. Brown, who's just, cleaning up in the awards.
Yeah.
Zach Quinto, Charlie Day...
Oh, wow, that's a great group of people.
It's a great cast. There's more that I'm missing, but those...
And what's it about?
I don't want to give away the premise, because I don't know what they've talked about. But it's based in the kind of the near future, and it's good stuff.
And when you meet a Jodie Foster, who she looks at you and she sees muscles and Marvel movies, does she right away have respect for you, or do you have to earn that from each one of these?
Oh, totally have to earn it. let me tell you a quick story. So I go on to meet her, and I'm super nervous, and, you know, they really wanted to play, because Jodie's super tiny. She's like 5 feet tall.
Okay.
And they really wanted to play. It's me and Jodie opposite this whole film. So they really wanted to play off the size difference. And so I go in for my first read, and she's just looking at me. She's looking at me. And she goes, "You're not nearly as big as I thought you'd be." And I'm like heartbroken. Like, is she having second thoughts about me? And I'm crushed, man. It's literally bugging me for the rest of the day. And I was telling another one of the cast members later, I was like, you know, I'm a little concerned. And I told, and they said, Joey's messing with you.
Oh, ye
'Giant
next to her.
Yeah, she's telling me, like, Liam Neeson's way bigger than me. And I'm like, man, I guess she was. But she's a sweetheart of a woman. Man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love her.
And you guys get along? Anybody you don't get along with? That's juicy stuff. That's what I want to hear.
Don't get along. No, you know, I've only had a couple bad experiences my whole career, really.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't care to mention them at all, but they were just people, and not necessarily that I didn't get along with, but they didn't treat people very well, so I just don't like them.
Right.
You know, I just don't like people who don't treat
people. People aren't afraid of you?
No, I mean, that's what I mean. They weren't treating me bad.
Right, but you see the way they treat other people?
Yeah, because I'll, you know, I'll say, let's step outside and let's figure this out.
Yeah, that's a conversation you don't want to have.
Well, I just, you know, I just, you know, I'm just not that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When does the mess of press start for Guardians?
For the next Guardians or for Avengers?
I'm sorry, for the Avengers.
I probably, I would imagine March, April.
And give me an idea how that works. What they tell you, okay, you're going to be going to New York for a week, LA for a week. Like, how does it usually work?
It's, yeah, pretty much. But, you know, I don't know because it's not, obviously, I'm not the biggest movie star in this film. So I don't know how.
I don't know. Drax was the star of the second Guardians movie.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about, you know, major A-listers here in this film. And so I don't know how much of the press responsibilities will be on my shoulders.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Man, that's a very humble thing to say.
No, I mean, well, think about it.
It's, I know, but I still
all the Avengers, like, then even in the Guardians. I mean, Pratt is he's a huge star now.
So now you know him. You're well.
Oh, Pratt's my boy.
Man. And you, I could say the same thing to you. How hard is it for you guys to be good-looking guys in good shape in movies and be married? I mean, I would imagine every girl fell in love with Chris Pratt in the last 5 years.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's got to be hard to go out there and have girls throwing themselves at you.
Yeah.
You're in a happy relationship.
Super happy.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, Chris Pratt's not married anymore.
That's what I was going to say.
Right. And I don't know what led to that, but I'm just saying that's got to be a difficult situation. So one of the things, I don't know if you want me to tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. One of the things that Dave was saying the other night was, you know, that he told us when he was on the show, when the first Guardians came out, that they put on these rubber pieces on Drax's body, the tattoo markings kind of thing. And he said, and after they finally figured out a way to take them off, they have to sit in the steam room for a while, and then they come and they kind of just chisel them off, and it makes it easy.
Right.
And he said that that there's his, he's got a stuntman who has to do the same thing, and that he's got three guys that have to chisel it off of him, and the stuntman gets three girls because he's married.
That's funny.
I thought that was hilarious. I would have had to call my wife and go, can I just have the girls there and I'll FaceTime you while we're doing it?
Yeah, my whole makeup team, they're all guys, and his makeup team is it's pretty much girls. I think there's usually four makeup artists, and three of them are girls.
Right.
Yeah, and he's like coming out of the sauna, like, you know, like he's a pimp. He's in his robe with three cute girls, and I come, you know.
You're all sad and ashamed.
All sad.
Yeah.
Hey, Daryl, did you get this one off my back? Thanks.
By the way, if you're just joining us in the show, Dave Bautista is here. You know him from the Guardians of the Galaxy. You know him from wrestling. He's a guy who is...
Spanish said he just saw his other movie, Bushwick.
Yeah, Bushwick and Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, cool,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Blade Runner, too.
Yeah.
Did you love that?
The movie?
Filming that?
It was a great experience. Yeah.
Think about this. I mean, we're about the same age. When you're a kid and you're watching Blade Runner and you're like, wow, this is a great movie, there's never a thought in your head that there'll be a sequel and you'll be in the sequel. I mean, that movie, you had to be at, what, 12, 13 when it came out?
Well, never in a million years what I thought. But this is, I mean, never in a million years, like 5 years ago what I have thought. And even like 10 years ago, I never thought I'd be in films. I never thought I'd be doing movies.
Yeah, but like people always say, like my mother was trying to stroke me over Christmas and she was like, I shouldn't say that. But she was like...
It did sound weird.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas tradition. Get under the mistletoe. There you go. Comes your Christmas stroking.
The ratings came out, and I said, oh, it was great. We were number one for the whole year. That's pretty good. And my mother said, I'm so proud of you. Did you ever think that you'd be in this position doing it? And I said, yes. I said, actually, I thought I'd be way more famous than this by now. This is killing me. But in a million years, I never thought, Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi, he dated Cher for a while. And I remember when I was a kid, Sonny and Cher had their own TV show that we used to watch.
Yeah.
And I thought, when you're a kid and you're watching Cher, you'd never think, one day I'm going to bang her. Yeah. You know, like there's no chance that I'm going to bang Sofia Vergara one day, you know?
Yeah.
But eventually, you're in Blade Runner 2. You got to wake up one day and be like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. And I haven't really woken up and thought that yet.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know.
Maybe that's good. Maybe you don't want to let that settle in.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it's for me. It's a job by job thing, and I'm more interested in the work than actually, you know, the accolades and the limelight. Yeah. I'm not concerned about that. I just kind of love acting.
I believe you when you say that. A lot of actors say, "Oh, it's all about the craft," and they're like, "No, it's not." You look at you, yeah. but you genuinely. I mean, look, you started doing that late, and you probably only want to get better as you go along.
That's the thing, and that's the chip on my shoulders. I just want to be a better actor, man. I just want to be a respected actor because I still carry around a little bit of that, you know. Some people still, you know, oh, yeah, he's a pro wrestler. And that's what they recognize me, and that's what I'm kind of labeled with. But I have a bit of a chip on my shoulder when it comes to that.
Where are you with the Rock? You ever work with him in any sort of acting stuff?
No, I'd love to.
Yeah.
I talked to him. It's been a while now. It's over a year now. I talked to him about possibly doing some stuff, and because there was some talk about me being in the last Fast film.
Oh, really?
And I wanted to, you know, get his opinion on it, what he thought about it, for a few different reasons. But then Guardians 2, it was a conflict of schedule.
Right. What is there something you want to do or somebody you want to work with that you are like, that would be the greatest?
You know, what I really love is Denzel. I think before I did Blade Runner, I probably would have said Ryan Gosling because I've got a huge man crush on Gosling.
Do you? Yeah. So does he.
He's amazing.
Why don't you guys have a threesome? Dude,
well, they had that great fight scene in the movie, and you just watch it. Like, you basically put Ryan through a wall. And I was like,
everything he's done. Like, Drive is one of my favorite films. It's one of my favorite films of all time. I love this dude, man. He's one of those guys he can do. It's not an easy thing to be able to do comedy and drama like that full range, man.
Right.
And he can.
Yeah, he's that's why everybody likes him. That's why guys like him and girls like him. Yeah. He's not just good looking. He also is kind of that's a Pratt factor too. Yeah.
But I think it's more you know me. I have more of a list of directors that I'd like to work with.
Who's on that list? Let me see if I know any of these people.
Well, like Guy Ritchie.
Yeah,
he's one of my all times. And Quentin. I haven't worked with Tarantino yet. And Antoine Fuqua is one of my favorite directors as well.
So. Guy Ritchie would be good because he makes Snatch and all his
and Aladdin.
But those,
did you know that?
No.
Yeah, he's doing the new Aladdin movie. I was like, really? Mm. Okay. I mean, he's a great director, so he may be able to do something with it.
Yeah, but that's kind of stuff. Like, I look at that stuff, like some of the stuff he's done, and it's not bad stuff, but to me, it doesn't feel like real Guy Ritchie films, like the Sherlock Holmes series and King Arthur. Like, that to me, that's not like Guy Ritchie films, like Snatch and Lockstock. You know, those are Guy Ritchie films to me.
And I would love to see you in a Tarantino movie. That'd be great.
Yeah, I agree, man. I'd love to work with him.
This is Batista, who's in the studio with us. So you did professional wrestling, you did MMA fighting, and now you're doing acting. What are you at? Broadway on the mind? What's next?
I do want to do theater.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Not sing-song theater.
You know, I can't sing.
Yeah.
But, I'd give it a go, man.
If they said to you, I said, listen, we got this role in this movie.
For sure. La La Land. I've actually worked with... So some of the producers from La La Land were actually some of the producers on Hotel Artemis as well.
Uh-huh.
It was the same group of guys. And I talked to them about it. I would do it in a heartbeat, man. Like, I would have done La La Land. It's one of my favorite films. It was my favorite film the year before.
Yeah, when you said that to me the other night, I was blown away. Now, I would never... want to watch all, and like I kept trying a couple times and I kept bailing out. But now that you said that, now I'm like, all right, now I feel like I have to, it deserves 2 hours of my time.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I turned it off. I was like, is there a camera watching me while I'm watching? I did not get it at all, man.
Oh, man.
I watched it, but I still don't think it holds up to like Grease, you know?
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, that's a huge comparison, though. I mean,
but I mean, they're both like kind of in the same genre.
Not really. But, no, I mean the musical thing, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, as far as a musical goes.
Well, you know, the thing that I loved, maybe, you know, I was watching, and I'm a little bit jaded, but some of the shots, the camera shots they did in La La Land were amazing.
Right.
Like, I don't know how...
You're watching it from a different level of appreciation, yeah.
And also, you know, I really love, and it's a hard thing to do, to bring films to the very end and really not know how they're going to end.
Right.
With that film, I didn't know how it was going to end, man, and I kind of loved that, man.
Yeah, you're right. If you figure out a movie halfway through, you lose it.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I just assume everybody dies at the end of every movie. even Grease.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that theory about Grease, that they were already dead?
What?
That because he saved her from drowning.
Right.
And the theory was that she actually drowned and dreamt that whole thing.
Oh, wow.
I like that better.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Now I want to go watch.
That's a dark twist.
I know. It makes all the movies better. Batista is here in the studio with us. What is next for you? I know you're here for a little while, and then when do you go? What do you work on next?
I think right now my next film is going to be this film called Stuber. I'm going to do with Fox.
Yeah,
yeah. I got a good year lined up.
You got like pull now. Like now you got little bit.
Well,
like if you went in there and they were like, we got a role for like a quirky neighbor or a goofy best friend.
Right.
Just give me a call. I'm available. I'm just letting you know that I'm, could stretch my wings out too.
Yeah.
And
I'm doing okay. I mean, this year is my first year. I'm kind of free of Marvel obligations. I don't have any Marvel stuff.
Which right.
I haven't had in a long time. And I'm doing like four studio films this year, man.
And where do you have to go? You have to go any remote locations? Are they all here in the United States?
Yeah, one of them is going to be two very remote locations. I think probably like Denmark and somewhere in South America. Maybe.
And when you go, I know this that because of the hit movies, hit Guardians movie, and because of wrestling, you are internationally famous, and it's harder for you as a big guy. Yeah. But does it blow your mind when you're in another country and somebody recognizes you?
Yeah, that's always been weird. I got that more with wrestling though.
Yeah,
no, it's weird, man. I don't get recognized a lot. Like I walk around.
Well, you're green for the young kids who didn't know you as a wrestler that you're green in the movie. So
I don't get recognized as much as you would think.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, do you think it has to do with the fact that your muscles are exploding through your shirt and people are a little bit intimidated? Like, look, I saw you the other night and you were wearing a jacket. Now you're wearing like a tight fitting shirt. Your shoulders are ridiculous.
Well, I think that's it. If I like throw a jacket on, maybe a hat or something, I get you kind of blend right in. I know that sounds odd, but I can.
I always wonder if you wore a hat and glasses, but I think I'd spot you from a mile away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I usually don't walk around disguised, but I just felt like I looked awful. I walked in there. I literally threw this on before I got out of the truck. I was like, man, I look bad.
What do you got, a little gray hair going on the side there?
Oh, man, I'm super gray. Super
are you
gray
ready?
And super bald.
No, you're not.
Oh, man, I'm super bald, yeah.
Oh, look at that. But you know what? No, I mean, you can see it's thin, but it works for you because we're so used to seeing you with no hair anyway, so.
Right.
I should have went that route. I should have went bald years ago, so everybody's just used to seeing me. Except you look like you got a perfectly symmetrical round head. Well, mine looks like a dented bowling ball. Yeah, my head looks odd. My head looks like a like if you boiled an egg and then chipped a piece off the tie. Like I can feel it. I feel I just got.
I actually I've been bald so much this year that I just wanted to just not be bald for a change. Just because, with Drax, I have to shave everything constantly.
Everything.
So I'm an unemployed actor right now, so I figured I'd be a little scruffy. I actually had a beard last night. I just shaved it off.
When do you, these are all great questions that you probably never wanted to answer, but when do you get paid for that? Like, so if Guardians, just say Guardians, you're filming a movie, they say, okay, we need you for 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever it is. Yeah. Do they pay you when it's over? Do they pay you weekly, monthly? How does it work?
Yeah, I think usually weekly. I don't know. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw a paycheck.
Isn't that great? That's spoken like a rich man right there. Yeah, I don't know. Some guy gets my money.
Well,
gets
usually my account. It goes to my agency, then it goes like straight into my account.
Right.
Every once in a while, I'll look at it and check. you may only have $50 in your bank account. Meanwhile, your agent's like, hey, you want to go on my yacht?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny is that, and I wonder if people know that, the very first time I ever talk to an agent, trying to hire an agent, that's the process. Yeah, and for movies, it seems to make more sense because they're sending you millions of dollars. But for me, they want you send the check to them, and then they send you money or they deposit money in your account.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not giving you my check. Like, I didn't quite understand how it goes. Yeah. And I still, by the way, don't do that because I said to them, they said, well, here, the process is to make sure that I said, listen, I'm married to a Jew from Jersey. You are not going to miss a dime. And then they actually, after like 5 years of the agency, they said, we just want to let you know that your wife is the best client we have. She is on time with everything. And it's very interesting. Yeah, but now when you're getting, so you get a buttload of money, then it goes to your agency and they take their piece out of it.
Right.
Then you have a manager too.
Yeah.
He gets a piece of it.
Yeah.
And then by the time it comes to you, you're like, Jesus Christ, what did I work all these months for? And I got all these guys chiseling my money out of there.
I couldn't tell you the last time I looked at a paycheck.
You are genuinely happy doing what you do. It's not for the money. It's not for the fame. You're just loving your life right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty. I'm happy for you. I always say this. I always say this when you're not here. You're one of the nice guys. You're like, I'm so glad to see you having success because I met you a long time ago when you were just wrestling, and you could tell you weren't really thrilled with it at that point, and you never know what's going to... I mean, a lot of your guys who start out that way, we go by the wayside, and you never hear about what they're doing, and they're working on a Jiffy Lube somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, how hard is that for me? You walk out to a crowd of 70,000 people, and then after a five-year run, you get fired, and what are you expected to do? Right. Where are you expected to go work?
Right. Well, I think it's all, you know, it's all a matter of what you want in life, and it's everything's, you know, you got to put everything in perspective. You know, Undertaker said to me one time, like years back, he said, always live beneath your means.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys, they lose sight of that. And I did for a while as well. Totally lost sight. But also the thing is, like, I think it's what you want out of it. You know, a lot of these guys, they just love the spotlight. They love the money. They love the flash.
And yeah.
It just never meant anything to me.
Yeah. That's interesting because that is probably the attraction for most people who go to it.
Yeah.
Undertaker also should follow a piece of advice. Don't get married 12 times. That will help you to live above your means. Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's always my old thing when I'm like, these people don't have best friends. Like if my buddy, you know, Pete, if Pete ever decided to get married again, I'd have to call him and go, don't leave.
How many times has he been married?
Just once. Yeah. But before, and I was against that one too. Yeah. But if he was going to do it again, I'd be the guy to call him up and go, hey, come on. I don't know. Who would you say is your best friend? Who's the guy you talk to every day?
No, it's, it's my wife or my buddy, Jonathan. Jonathan and I, who is my manager, I've known since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go way, way back.
So did you feel the pressure to hire him as your manager?
No. It's, you know, the way it had happened was, so I wanted to go into wrestling. I was, you know, closing in on 30. I was broke. I didn't know what to do with myself, and I thought maybe I'd go into wrestling. But
what did you do before that?
I was a bouncer. I was a bouncer for like 13 years.
So you were just a big guy?
Always a big guy.
Big guy,
I started bouncing when I was 17 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were like, I'm going to try professional wrestling at 30.
Yeah.
Probably 10 years
later. I was
almost
30. I was like 28, 29.
Still way later than most guys.
I just, you know, I didn't know what to do. I'd spent so many years in the gym and kind of floating through my 20s. And I got wrapped up in, you know, working the clubs. It was easy cash. All I wanted to do was lift weights.
Right.
And so, I'm closing in on 30. I didn't know what to do with myself. And they were having open tryouts at the WCW at the time. And I went for a tryout and I blew it, and you know, they told me never come back. I'd never be a professional wrestler.
And then, was it really that bad?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Really?
Yeah, literally, it was embarrassing. They chased me out of there.
Well, did you have any idea what, like, did you wrestle in high school?
Yeah,
or
I was
college?
An amateur wrestler as well.
Okay,
yeah.
So you knew a little something at least.
Yeah, but it really wasn't that. It was really more like, it was like a boot camp training.
Oh,
it was like, I was like 350 pounds, and like the guy next to me was like 180 pounds. And
we're
all doing the same stuff, like same cardio stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And literally, they ran me into the ground, and the guy just focused on me and just, you know, rode me till I threw up and told me to leave. Said, leave, get out of here. You'll never be a professional wrestler.
Jeez.
You know who that was? Do you remember that guy?
Yeah, his name was Sarge.
Was he a powerhouse trainer or somebody?
Yeah, what were they called? Power Plant.
Power Plant, yeah.
I can't even remember his name.
Power Plant.
Yeah, he was a buddy.
But that's great now, because now you get your pass will cross Sunday.
Yeah, and like, you know. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't
probably
care.
At the Jiffy Lube.
I'd probably thank him, you know.
No, you should be like, you're right. I was never going to make it as a wrestler. I'm a millionaire movie star now.
Well, thank you for motivating me.
Yeah.
I did a lot of stuff out of spite.
Right. I took that wrestling career and I stretched it as long as I could. I'm sorry. But I did go on to bigger and better things. So you failed WCW, and then what happens?
No,
at that
I
point,
just,
most
well,
people
what
quit.
It was, they were having open tryouts at the time, so
right.
I just paid my few hundred dollars, went for a tryout. They, you know, chased me out there. And so about a week later, I called up, they were still WWF at the time, called up. Actually, my buddy called him up, Jonathan.
Yeah.
And asked if they were having tryouts, and they said no, but they recommended a camp. So I went to train with Afa the Wild Samoan.
Oh, yeah.
So I literally, Jonathan lent me the money to move from Washington, D.C. up to Allentown, Pennsylvania, so I could go up there and start training. And that's what I did for about a year. I trained with them, and then I got a contract with WWE.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. See, but that's a couple of life lessons there. First of all, follow your dream. But second of all, don't let anybody tell you you're no good.
Right.
If you would have listened to that guy,
right,
he would have just been back to bouncing.
Yeah.
He'd have been the world's most wasted talent of a bouncer.
Yeah. You know, I get obsessed with things when I find out that I'm really bad at them.
Right.
You know, it's, I guess, the challenge thing I love.
You do? Yeah. See, that's why I'm completely opposite. When they go, you're not going to, I go, okay. I'm going to go take a nap. Yeah. Don't bother me. Yeah. So if that's going to be a good way to get you to do stuff.
Acting. I found out I was horrible, and I didn't think I would be so bad, because otherwise, before that, I had no aspiration to be an actor.
Really?
Yeah.
So now you do it. Now you're sought after. I mean, people. Now you got movies lined up.
Yeah.
Who picks them? You pick them. Jonathan picks them. We're a combination.
We do a team thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a team thing. Some things are very, they're very calculated. You know, I've probably taken a long route in my career, but we were hoping that it would lead somewhere special, somewhere great, which it has. Because when I first left WWE, I was getting offered really bad roles, really straight to
Marine Five and
stuff like that. You know, yeah. And it was weird, man, because it was actually Austin. It was Steve Austin who told me to watch out for that and not get to not get stuck in that rut, because it would. If you start getting taken those roles, like you'll just get stuck in that rut.
Yeah.
You know? That's all people will see you as, is a straight to DVD actor.
But yeah, especially being a big guy. Exactly. You're going to be the bad guy in every movie, a bodyguard.
They wanted to typecast me in every film and I just turned down a lot of roles. And at the time, it was hard because I wasn't making any money.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to do it, but you gotta hold out.
Yeah, I tell you, that was a great thing about the WWE. I mean, that check came every Monday. That was probably the last paycheck I saw was...
WWE check?
Yeah, that would have been, 2010.
And you get, for WWE, you get your salary... And then they have this weird bonus system, don't they?
It's really a weird payment system. It's actually, so you have your guarantee, but nothing goes off of the guarantee unless you're like injured or you're just one of those guys who's just not working much.
Because right.
Otherwise, then it's all percentages of shows and pay-per-view. Well, it's different now, I think, that they have the network. I don't know how they do it, but that's how it was back then.
So you got a... three Raw shows where you're the main event on Raw,
right,
because you're leading up to a pay-per-view,
right,
and then at that pay-per-view you're the main event on the pay-per-view,
right.
So then that next check, that's a fat check.
That's where our money came from, pay-per-views and merchandise.
Yeah. I remember when Undertaker lived here, he would just get random $40,000 checks from merchandise.
Yeah.
That has to be great.
And it was usually like we used to get that check after Christmas, and that was when all the video
toys,
game sales.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are the great checks, man.
You still get those, or do they own your character or likeness?
No, they do own it, and that was one of the things when I went to into WWE. They changed my name. They changed the spelling of my name, and I couldn't figure out why they did it. And it was Vince. He said, "Well, it'd be easier to pronounce this way." And I was like, because you guys can own it.
Right. Can you fight them on that? I got very few people, like CM Punk, got to keep the ownership of his name.
I think he was Punk before he went to WWE.
Right.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they want to absorb that once you come in. He fought it, but then that always creates animosity. You don't want to be that guy. I mean, look where he is now.
Well, there's so much animosity there.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that worked with him, having the name before he went. And
does he have enough money saved to be a thumb on his nose?
I think so, and I think he's still making a very good living.
Yeah.
Punk's still in high demand. Like, people really want to see him. He's just one of those.
But for what though? I mean, like, is he doing independent shows or?
Yeah, I think I don't think he's done indies, but he did really well on TV.
Yeah,
he created such a fan base for himself, and he's a great guy, and he does all the He wrote for the Drax comic for a while.
Yeah, how is that?
It's great.
Is it?
Oh, it's great, yeah.
So, I don't even know if you know this, but so I have this Marvel encyclopedia that I've had for years.
Right.
And after the first, I didn't know anything about Guardians.
Right.
So after the first Guardians came out, I went and busted that open and looked up all the characters.
Mm.
Drax is the only one that was like a pre-existing character.
No, they should have been in there. I mean,
the Guardians of the Galaxy
as a group, but not like Gamora.
Right. But Drax himself was in as a solo, like had other appearances and other things before Guardians.
Yeah,
isn't that weird? I don't know what they give you a history lesson on the thing, or they just go, you're green.
I did a little research on my own before I, took on the character, and I've done some since, and just because it's, come to my attention about, a lot of regarding Drax and his family and everything. But no, I mean, I didn't know that. I don't know what encyclopedia that was. I'm surprised they didn't have all the characters in.
Oh, well, yeah, like they had the Guardians as a group, but Drax is the one. I want to say that perhaps the raccoon too had a separate character thing.
Okay.
Anyway, get all nerdy. Batista is here. Yeah. Batista, as Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy and from the new what's the Harrison Ford
we Blade Runner Blade 2049. Runner movie. Yeah.
But I was telling you that we had Daniel Craig on the air recently, James Bond, who lied to us, son of a bitch. The morning we have him on the air is when all this stuff's in the news about whether or not he's going to do more movies.
Right.
Now, I was completely against him in the beginning because I don't want a blonde James Bond. I want to. Really? I want. I grew up where James Bond looked like a certain type of guy.
Sure.
And I thought you can't have a black James Bond. You can't have a lady James Bond. Right. This is the character. And then I was wrong. Then I saw the first movie he made, and I was like, he may be one of the best ever.
I think he is.
Yeah.
Well, him and Sean Connery. Sean Connery is always going to be my favorite, although I think Daniel is just, he's an incredible Bond. Like, right now, I can't see anybody else filling that role.
And in my youth, Roger Moore was the guy.
Yeah.
So although we all love Sean Connery, Roger Moore was a smooth kind of 80s James Bond that
liked. Yeah, he was like, he's more from my generation of James, like when I was a young teenager, when I was going to the movies and everything. But I never really got into him as Bond.
Yeah.
It was too campy.
That's it. I think you pick the guy that you know first, and that's who you stick with.
Yeah.
And I hate Timothy Dalton. Oh, I thought that was the worst pick ever. Yeah. And I thought Pierce Brosnan was too late. The first round would have been
Pierce
good.
Pierce was too pretty.
Too he pretty. Yeah. He's more of along the Roger Moore lines of being, you know, just he was too old to be that kind of an action guy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you know, Pierce is one of the best guys I've ever met in my life. I love him.
Is he?
Yeah, I did a film with him. It'll come out this year, and I just had a great time with him.
He does seem like he'd be.
He's
cool.
not, he's Irish.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought he was British, and but he's just, he lives in Malibu, he lives in Hawaii, just kind of a hippie. No, he's a good dude, man. He is a really great guy.
He's Irish, but I think he did live in Britain or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
So Daniel Craig is on the air with us.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to be stiff English prick. Plus, he's a famous movie star, and he's on the phone, and I hate that. It's just like hard. Like, in the studio is great.
Right.
But on the phone, I can't see him, and I don't know if he's rolling his eyes or what he's doing. But he turns out he was good. He started off slow.
Right.
Came around. He was really good. We made him laugh a couple of times, which he liked. Then I brought you up.
Right.
And for a second, he paused, and he was like, ugh. And I was hoping so bad. But I hate that guy. He's terrible. But he was like, isn't he, sweetheart, such a nice guy. Yeah. And this is a guy who you guys just beat each other up.
We did. And I think you bond when you beat each other up.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
And you don't get mad? A guy breaks your nose or kicks you in the lip?
No. It was just one of those things that we're just kind of, just caught up in the moment. And I loved it because he really gets into it. He's like psyching himself up before the fight. He starts yelling and screaming, and I love that, man. It's just like a good energy. That's the kind of stuff. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I pick up from certain actors here and there. And I love that they do that and get into character. I swear I've picked up something from each film I've done with certain actors here and there.
That's the way to do it.
Their process. Yeah,
he's on the air with us that day, talking about how he loves you, laughing with us. We like him, and I go, all right, come on, what's the deal? Everybody's asking if you're going to make another James Bond movie, and. I thought it was brilliant because I think all along he knew he was going to do it, but he wanted more money, and that's the way to do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to run out. Right. And then they're like, what if we double your salary? All right, I'll do it.
Right.
So
I think they quadrupled.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So I asked him, and he goes, I don't know if people make those decisions. But and I was like, all right, that's fine. That night he goes on Colbert and makes the announcement and says he's going to do it. I was like, hey, you could have gave us a little bit of a hint.
Yeah.
You could have said, I'm going to let you know tonight on Colbert.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'll let it slide.
I don't think that's the reason. I think he seriously was debating whether he wanted to do it again or not.
It's a lot of work.
He's loaded.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a work either. I think Daniel wanted to... I think he's an artist, man. I think he wanted to do more creative stuff. I think his wife has an Academy Award sitting on the shelf.
Who is his wife? I don't know who his wife is.
Rachel Weisz.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And I think...
that's got to be some competition.
He might have just wanted, he might have wanted to go and do more stuff like that would be more artistic.
Do you think every once in a while he's like, listen, I'm James Bond. She's like, oh, yeah? Academy Award. Right in your face.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, maybe there's a little competition there.
Jericho said to me one time, I said, look at you. You're a wrestling superstar. You're in a successful rock and roll band.
Mm.
You have like two bestsellers at the time, a game show host, actor. I was like,
it's all over the place.
All over the place. It's great and successful. And he goes, yeah, but you know what? On Tuesday and Thursday, I'm the guy my wife tells to take the trash out. Every time I go to take the trash out, I think about that. I wheel it to the curb, yeah. And I go, hey, what if Chris Jericho's taking his trash out right now? That's the way that you got to stay level-headed.
Yeah.
Because you're still got to be the guy that takes the trash out.
Yeah, I think in a lot of, you know, people, I'll take my trash out, and people kind of drive by, and they're looking at me. But I know most of my neighbors, and we live in an area where, unless you live there, there's really no reason for you to be driving down there. So I know kind of my whole neighborhood.
You ever get any fans coming by and looking?
Every once in a while, yeah. We got a few on Halloween, because, you know, my wife and I, we passed out candy this year. And
you did? So the kids, like, are the kids like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You do a pretty good Drax.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That must be such a thrill for them. When I was a kid, I grew up in New York, and I never met any celebrities. Randy Savage lived in Staten Island, and the big rumor was he lived by the mall, and every time I went to the mall, I hoped to see him. I never saw anybody. Yeah. Here, you have the opportunity to see football players, baseball players. You go to the mall, you run into somebody.
Right.
And if I'm trick-or-treating, what if you got a kid dressed up as the Guardians, and all of a sudden he's knocking on the door, and a Guardian answers the door? That's got to be the coolest thing.
Yeah, I think, a lot of the kids, came from different neighborhoods to come down to our neighborhood to trick-or-treat, and a lot of kids didn't even realize, and then, another kid would say something, but a lot of my neighbors, they know me, and I'm very...
That's what you hope in your neighborhood.
Yeah, and I'm interactive, in my community, in my neighborhood. I always make it a point to go out and show face. I like to know my neighbors because they're, when I'm away, they're watching my house.
Yeah, sure.
And so I like that it's a neighborhood and a community. I like that.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm happy for your success. You've definitely earned it.
No, thanks, man.
I'm glad that you got up early to come in here. I thought your accent was great. You fooled me for a second. I was like, what?
I thought for a second when she said accent, she didn't really know.
So I was hoping to God, because you sounded like you had a little Asian in there. I thought she was going to think it was somebody who was Asian on the show.
Joe said, they want you to disguise your voice. I was like, man.
Yeah.
Hello.
That was perfect. That was perfect. Well, that was good. And thank you for getting up. Now, so what, we won't see you till 2020 now?
No, I'll come back whenever.
Yeah. Well, when you're going to be leaving soon. Go do some work, right?
Not till March. Yeah.
Oh, March.
I'm gonna take a couple trips here and there. I got nominated into this International Sports Hall of Fame thing. I'm gonna do early March.
That's cool.
Do that. Yeah, that's kind of cool. It's me and I think Boss Rutten, Ronda Rousey, and a couple other names.
Boss Rutten is we've had him on the show a couple of times.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. Yeah.
He is on that TV show with
Kevin.
With Kevin James. Yeah. I know they've been buddies for a long time. See, that's Dave. That's what you need to do. Yeah. We're buddies. You need to pull, like, Boss Rutten's got no acting skills. Kevin James said, I want my buddy Boss to be on the show.
I actually was going to do a movie with Kevin. Then I had to, it was a conflict of scheduling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you right now, if they're sitting around going, who can we get to play the dumb neighbor? I'm your guy. All right? Put that out there. Great seeing you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Congratulations on everything. And then we may have to blow you a call before the, or maybe after we see the Avengers movie to go, what? Why didn't you tell us about that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll come back in and we'll talk more about it when
it
gets closer.
Dave Bautista.
The Mike Calta Show on 102.5 The Bone.